Okay, so in Dark Hashem, we had this year started last year. So instead of starting again from the beginning, since some guys came back, so we're going to start from here. But it's okay, because this day next year, we'll do the same thing. It's Rechelik Beis Parachamishi, I think. And we're talking about the way God oversees the world. It's very complex. It's called Hashkacha. And there's two parts of Hashkacha. Hashkacha is supervision.
We call it supervention.
Supervision and intervention.
Supervention.
You made up that word?
The Rebbe made it up.
Oh, yeah.
Supervention.
We call it supervention, okay? Because there's no proper English word for Hashkacha, so we made up one. So until now, we're talking about the different laws, the bylaws of this world. So now we want to talk in actuality. How does it translate to us? How does it, bring it down to earth. How does it translate to us? That's a new section. We're going to divide it into two things. It's a very organized, orderly thing. Number one is Hashem's gaze, Hashem's viewpoint. And the second is his impact. And those are divided into two. Because not everything does Hashem see, that Hashem sees, does he act on. Thank God. I mean, thank God for that. If God would react and act on everything he sees, we wouldn't be discussing this right now. So we're talking about what Hashem sees. So Kfar Yadanu, so we know this is something which is established, it's been established in the Sefer until now. So who is Baruch Shema Yadayakol? There's nothing that's hidden from God. God's knowledge encompasses everything. Not only does he know everything, it's not possible for him not to know everything. And that's a separate level. God knows everything because he must know everything. Nothing can be hidden from him. There's nothing hidden from God in the past. There's nothing hidden from God in the present. And there's nothing hidden from God in the future. And this is not to be understood that God is like a soothsayer. You heard of a soothsayer in Shakespeare, Beware the Ides of March. So a soothsayer, he also knows the future. So God knows the future, and the soothsayer knows the future. And you have a historian, and some of the research things, or some of them live a very, very long time. Like, for example, Sarah Bas Asher. I mean, she lived a very long time. So she knows the past. And then you have some of the interested in current events, and he knows everything that's going on now. And God is like all those three things put together. That's wrong. That's evil.
What's evil?
To think that God knows things like that.
These two different things.
God doesn't know things the same way we know things. His knowledge is a totally different level than our knowledge. For example, did you ever hear about the professor that he delivered a dissertation? A medical dissertation on the harmful effects of smoking. He went through the various carcinogens and the effects on the immediate effects, it leads to emphysema and it promotes the growth of cancer cells and there's all kinds of, and shortness of breath, which is in high ailments and the hardening of the arteries and plaque buildup. He went from beginning to end, brilliant, brilliant. And whoever was there was convinced, the overwhelming evidence. And then at the end he sort of snuck out. And someone saw him in the alleyway, it was like a theater, it was a conference hall. And they saw him in the alleyway, he snuck out, he was puffing away on a cigarette. And he was thinking it's not a true story, you're wrong, it is a true story, this really happened and it happens. And it does happen. You're puffing away. So he asked him, he said, you know, what are you doing? He said, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm smoking. He said, yeah, but what about the attitudes and the nicotine? He said, so? What about the evil effects? How could you stand there for an hour and lecture and you have all this knowledge and right afterwards you could just go ahead and do this? And he said, what does one thing have to do with the other? That's what I know and this is what I do. Yeah, I agree with you. But I don't know if anybody that does practice what they preach 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, does anybody practice what they preach 100%? Yeah, that is the definition of a guttle. The definition of a guttle is not someone that knows a lot of Torah. The definition of a guttle is someone that's totally consistent. That's what a guttle is. He's totally consistent. So when he learns the Torah, then it becomes reality. I was a miser with... I heard it... I heard it about... Chavetz Chaim... I think I heard about the Chavetz Chaim when he was a little kid. I think I heard about the Chavetz Chaim when he was a little kid. I might be wrong about this, but... I mean, he was a big tzaddik, and he was a little kid once upon a time, so it sounds good. And like he, when he was a little kid, he used to pass by an apple cart. And they used to sell apples, and he would just take an apple and eat it. He didn't know there was anything wrong with it. He was little. And then the cheder, I mean, this could have been when he was 3 years old. I mean, yeah. In cheder, the Rebbe taught him the parshas of Shavua that you're not supposed to steal. And he explained, what is stealing? Stealing is taking something without permission. So he got, I don't know how he got some money. He bought some apples from this lady. It was a long time afterwards. And then she gave him apples, and then he tossed them back on the cart and ran away. Because to him, even as a young child, learning Torah is not theory. Learning Torah is not philosophical. It's not academic. It's to be made a part of the person. So people are not like that. What we are, what we know, is not what we do. We have two separate parts. Even if a human being is totally consistent, he's consistent because he chooses to be consistent, not because he has to be consistent. Right? He chooses to be consistent. Like you're saying, it's not right, it's not moral, it's not straight. It's not because he has to be, it's because he chooses to be so. So you see that, but the person is a dichotomy, it's a division between what you know and what you are. And what you know and what you do. But Hashem, it's not like that. Hashem's knowledge and his essence are one.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know because I don't know Hashem. I don't know people, and people are like that.
Hashem's knowledge, stuff that he knows.
Yeah. Password.
What?
I can't tell you. What is it? What does it mean to be one with your knowledge? Well, basically, be one with your knowledge means that you don't have free choice.
Does Hashem not have free choice?
There's very little. Hashem doesn't need free. Hashem is. Hashem doesn't choose between.
Yeah.
So
Hashem doesn't make choices because Hashem is always right.
Yeah.
You don't have to make choices.
Yeah.
You don't have to make a choice. You know, if the guy's coming in, you got the football, and your blocker pushes the guy to the right, and the left side of the field is clear all the way there. Do you have a choice?
Not really.
Of course not. You go down the left side. There's only one pathway. God only has one pathway. But we have choices because
by definition,
he doesn't need choice. He has choices. There's a good choice and a bad choice. He doesn't have bad choices. Hashem does what he wants. He's not forced. Hashem does what he wants, but he always picks right. So he's not picking. So, so we can't understand. We can understand a lot about God, and we're trying. But he's on a totally different level, and our experience is only with people, and we can't project people on God. So when you say God, let's go back to us. So God knows everything. It doesn't mean he knows everything. That means there's nothing that's hidden from him. I'll repeat that. It doesn't mean he knows everything. Like, we know things. We don't know how he knows things. There's nothing hidden from him. And even further, who created time? We say this in davening, yeah. We say it in davening. We say it in Berakos Kriyat Shema. We say, what do we say in davening?
Wait, God just doesn't know everything, what?
Yes, so the...
What would you say?
God created time.
So, wait, like God, just doesn't know everything, he, what?
Yeah, I'll finish that sentence as soon as I read this pasuk. Finish that sentence. Today, God causes changes with the times. Machlavit does matter. He switches around the time. Messiah can come. The stars that we mark time by them in an orderly fashion. Mishmasem Barakir Kitsano. God created day. God created night. He caused the daytime to come and then darkness departs. God created time. How do we define time? We define time based on the rising and the setting of the sun. That's not just a way of marking time. The stages of the moon, the positions of the stars, it would be no sun. There would be no moon. And there would be no stars. Did you ever know what time it is?
It's sort of sundial.
There's no sun. Time is a concept.
But there would be
time. It's
conceptual.
Doesn't mean anything,
but there would be time.
It does mean a lot. What?
Why?
Time is not just a concept. Time is real.
Maybe
there'd be something else there, but it wouldn't be time. The sun is not
the hourglass.
The sun is God created the sun, and the sun's mission on this earth is to give us time. That means before God made everything, there was no time. There was no beginning. God was always there. Yeah, so God created time in the beginning. The first thing God created, the first thing he created was the sun. The Shemayim and the Earth. Yes. Now, if that's true, that means that the concept that God knows what's in the past is an illegitimate concept. Because there is no past for God, and there is no future for God. So God doesn't know what's in the past. There is no such thing as past. I'm just, I'm not telling you what God is, and we can't know what God is, but at least let's know what he isn't.
He isn't time?
No, he isn't. His knowledge is not the same as our knowledge. And he doesn't peer into the future or gaze into the past. He's above everything. Shemayim is the sun.
No, but the sun wasn't what created the sun. No, but it wasn't the sun that created the beginning.
Beginning has time. Time is beginning and end.
Right, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the beginning.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun. The sun was created in the beginning.
God created the sun. Right. Meaning the beginning came before the sun was in.
It did.
How's it possible the sun is in this time?
Because it's something that exists before time. We just don't know what it is.
So there's another essence of time.
No, there's pre-time. It's not time at all.
It was time.
It wasn't then.
Time is from the creation of the sun. Time.
I mean, we don't know what it was.
There was times before that.
But there
also
was something before time. There was no time before time. But there was something.
Must have been mad boring.
Eternity was before. What?
Therefore, it ain't worth your while. So it's like the concept
that
we just can't comprehend, like the solar system.
We can't concept anything outside of time and space. We have no comprehension of infinity. Even if you have in your mind, like a carpet, that goes on and on and on and on and on, that's also not infinity, because you're envisioning in your mind the form of a carpet, and the carpet has limits to it. You see something that's, you know, it's thick, it's not that, you know, has a color, it has an appearance to it. So it's not infinite because you're limiting it to something. In your mind, there's something going on and on and on and on and on. But it's still finite, it's limited, it's not limitless. In fact, you can't imagine any. Okay. That's a circle is an example of eternity. That's an example of eternity. It's only an example, it's not eternity.
Yeah. So when you look at, like, the sky, like how is that not better than your example?
No, because the circle represents eternity, because if you walk along a circle, then there's no end. So that's why it's like an example of eternity.
So you said it's finite.
Circles also finite.
It's an example.
We have evidence, examples of eternity in this world, but all of those things. You know, if you make a battleship to scale, the 1 inch on the battleship is, I don't know, like 100 yards, a yard in the battle, you know, and you finish it, it's exactly the same. Did you make a battleship? You made something that does a parallel for everything that the battleship has, you have it. But it's not a battleship at all. It can't win a battle, it can't stay, it might not even be able to float. It could float apart like that. But it is a battleship. In the sense that there's a parallel, there's like something representative in it for everything. So a circle is not eternity, but it could still represent eternity. So we're going to be very, you can't imagine anything that you've never been acquainted with before. I told you this to my physics teacher, Mr. Tomase. Did I tell you about Mr. Tomase's exercise? I had a physics teacher named Mr. Tomase. He gave us an exercise about alternative realities. He said, in this world we have a 7-color spectrum. There's a color spectrum, a color wheel, and there's 7 colors in it. But that's only this world. But there's a side-by-side alternative dimension, alternative reality. They exist side-by-side to this world. And that world is other colors. That's what he said. It's physics, right? Well, you make the assumption of what it is. But Mr. Tomase said in that world there's more colors. You were serious. So he said, well, everyone in the class, they should all close your eyes and try and imagine what those colors would look like. And of course we did it. It's exactly like telling a blind man what color blue is. And why is that?
How would you even describe that?
Why is that? Because there's no way to form any concrete any concept about something which you've never ever experienced before. If I would tell you to imagine in your mind a monster that you've never seen before, you would be able to do it. But I guarantee you that it would have a trunk like an elephant, it would have a tusk like a walrus, and it, because it would be a composite of of every single scary thing that you've ever imagined in your life. There'd be nothing original about it. Every song in the world has the same seven notes. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. There's no more. That's it. Finished. There aren't any more. Professor Klatsko is lecturing.
About smoking. Hey, you guys really cracking down on the smoking. Or not.
All right, so let's continue with his paragraph a little bit. So, anything which was or will be, quite softly in the front of me, Elam. As far as God is concerned, whatever will be has already happened. It's not, there's no constraints of time. There's no such thing as something which hasn't happened yet. There's no such thing as something which has happened already. It's all at one time, you know. It's, everything is constantly happening all at one time.
You can't even say all at one time.
God could, right? God could.
Who's that? I'm not getting this. Like, if human I jump off the building, I've never done that before.
No, we're
because
not
you
God.
Are not God.
What?
You know, we live very much. We live very much in a world with rules. And we live inside of time, and we can't escape time. That was one of the biggest travesties. It's still happening.
What is still happening that happened in the past?
It's not. It's just hidden. It's still happening. Every single thing which happened is still happening. And yeah,
sure this is going to happen in the next 20 years.
Well, after a person dies, after a person dies, you know this famous example that you must have heard millions of times over, that after a person dies, it's much worse than that. It's much worse than that. After a person dies, he's going to see how he's still doing it. It's much worse than a movie. It's live. Every single embarrassing thing that a person ever thought of, said, or did is still being thought of, is still being said, is still being done. It's just that we can't see it. Because in this world, the past is covered over. It doesn't disappear. It's covered over. And in the world where there's no time, so then we will be faced with ourselves still doing and saying and thinking those things. Tshuva is a mace. Tshuva, what tshuva does is it takes all those embarrassing moments and turns them into a badge of pride. Doesn't make them go away.
Same like when you pass through and you go up there.
So then they point to the person. Look at what a low life this person was. Look at what a reject he was. And look how far. No, you don't. And he's so strong. And he's so powerful that he was able to turn that around. And the guy is so proud of the fact that he was able to come from here to there that he's proud of it. And there's a special place in Gan Eden.
Still a chance.
Yeah, well, for people, they have Bali Tshuva. And even Tzaddik and Gemurim are not there, because Tzaddik and Gemurim do not have that pride. And Tzaddik and Gemurim could not have done it. If a Tzaddik Gemur would have done an Avera like that, they'd never make it back. Bali Tshuva is more powerful.
Does that mean Tshuva changes history?
Tshuva does not change history. Tshuva changes the degradation and the despicability of the mysim that people do and turns it into cover.
Part of it is like Gehenna, right? It says that a person is supposed to get Gehenna for around a year, a regular person. So what does that mean if there's no concept of time?
I asked the question last year.
You know, that's
a spiritual realm.
Because the word year means time only to us, but the word year means something totally different in Gehenna. It means stages. It doesn't mean time. Stages. Now, since we don't know what a stage is, a stage which is not time, we don't know what that is, so it's called a year. But it means a total complete stage, cycle. So a year means a cycle. So the word year in this world means time.
So and what gives us the right to say that? We can say Kaddish for 12 months.
Because this is like, we're going to be here for a long time, Baruch Hashem, with these questions. Baruch Hashem, I thank God for having such wonderful, wonderful questions. There's I'll give you an example. One of the holiest things in creation is the prophecy, you know, the prophecy that was given to the prophet Yechezkel in Yeshaya called the Ma'aseh HaMerkava. Hashem opened up the heavens and they saw something that no one saw. You know. It's a very rare instance. And they saw a man on a throne surrounded by a lion, a baby.
Well, that was after.
A man, yes it was, and an eagle. Okay? So Yeshaya and Yechezkel saw, in a prophetic vision, they saw an eagle. And it's like, the Gemara says you're not allowed to learn about this and go into depth about this. It's very holy stuff what they saw. And they saw an eagle. If all they saw was an eagle, then what is the status? We give it such a lofty, such a high status. Why do we attribute it such holiness and it's so inaccessible we can't understand it? They saw an eagle. We see eagles. They saw an eagle. Some people find eagles. Eagle Israelis. So what you see from here is that there's an eagle, you know, the floppy kind, you know, and then there's the essence of an eagle. Because a dead eagle doesn't fly. That means what? It's root, the root of an eagle. Everything has roots. Everything has roots.
You mean like a tie to...
A tie to life, the life of an eagle. The life force of an eagle. There's a person without a life force is... A person with a life force is dead. He doesn't say anything, he doesn't do anything. It's boring to be dead. Death is boring. And the moment before death, the person's alive. What happened between, you know... And of course the scientists, I love scientists. They try and scientifically determine the exact point of departure of the soul from the body, and they put all kinds of spectral image detectors and sensitive thermal detectors to detect that, you know, in a dying person's room. To determine if some of them detecting the life force as it leaves the body. The temperature of the room goes down like a millionth of a degree. Oh, we discovered something. When a person dies, his body gets colder and the room turns colder. And they're happy people. They're happy people. They don't detect any infrared imaging or any nuclear energy being given out. And we know that people are alive. And we know that when people die, everything changes. So why is it that science is at a loss to detect? I mean, biologically, the difference between a dead body and a live body is there's no difference whatsoever. I mean, they start dying, but even a live person has cells that die, just that they're replenished. So, a dead person, a minute after death, there's no difference. There's still blood, there's still a heart, everything. So why isn't the heart pumping? What about the electronic impulses between the nerve synapses? And you know, what happened to that? What happened to those positive ions that are flying around? They're making the heart, jolting the heart and making it, you know, contract, and the diaphragm bringing in the way, and the nerve endings in the brain going to the thalamus and the hippocampus, the freaking hippocampus. Why am I walking around? Why am I a dead person? And the answer is because there's something that animates the body, and that thing is not a physical thing, and it can't be seen, it can't be smelled, it can't be touched, and it can't be picked up by any scientific gadgetry, and it never will, because it's not a physical thing. It's like that color in the other dimension. And that's when I say, no, that's what I mean when I say the essence of a person is the soul. And the essence of an eagle is what Yechezkel and Yeshayah saw in the prophetic dream. And that's already something. See the essence of something.
What does it even mean, see the
essence of something? I never saw it. I mean, we saw it.
Understand that.
It's a spirit, see, it's like seeing an angel. How about that? Do you understand that? Well, there are people who have seen angels. Do you understand what that is, seeing an angel? Then you could see it. Then you could see it. But an angel without the form of a human, you can only see with your mind, not with your eyes. So it means seeing things with your mind. All right, in a way we could relate to it. We do see things in our mind, and they're not physical. The dreams?
Yeah, but they're related to projected on the
thing. Okay, I'm just I'm very limited in how I'm going to, in my ability to explain this to you. But at least it's not a physical sight, okay? Your eyes are closed.
Your eyes are projected off what we've seen from our eyes.
Sometimes. True dreams can come from heaven, you know. Fantasies are things which we've seen, but true dreams can come from heaven. Sometimes Hashem will send a prophecy to someone through a dream. Sometimes. You never had that?
And then that prophecy could be an original idea.
You never dreamt of something that came true?
Yeah. I did once.
I dreamt that I got a cut in my dream and I woke up with a cut. In that exact place.
You know, my brother-in-law. This is not a story which I read in a book. This is a real story. My brother-in-law, his mother, when she was pregnant with him, she scalded the inside of her arm on a pot. And there's a brown mark there. And her skin got discolored. And he was born with a mark in the same place. Right there. Still has it.
So?
You tell me.
Not me.
What? You tell me, what does that mean?
Maybe your baby will have
The point I'm trying to make to you, I'm not trying to explain anything, because I can't explain what I don't understand. The point I'm trying to make to you is that we have a physical body and a physical world, which we do have, we can understand a lot about it. And I have a lot of respect for the physical sciences, as long as they limit themselves to the area of expertise, you know, and they'll go further than that. We have a lot that we can learn from there. And then we have a spiritual side of us, which we have no access to really understanding too much about it. But that doesn't mean that it's far from us. They're connected. They shake hands across the universe. You know, the physical and the non-physical, they shake hands across creation, the cosmos. The soul is connected to the body. If someone is depressed, depression is not a physical sickness. Depression is a sickness of the soul. It's a mood. Depression. Depressed people get, they have a higher frequency for contracting illnesses. They're always sick. They get a cold, and then they get the flu, and they get a sore throat, and they get a sore throat, and they get a headache. The stomach aches. Depressed people are always getting stomach aches. Science is called physiological, right? When the Shama is sick, and the neshama is attached to the body, the body's going to be sick. So if it works that way, so if a guy, if a lady has a, her hand touches a pot, and the pot burns the body, and the body is connected to the soul, and the soul is going to be affected somehow, and the soul is connected to the baby's soul, because the baby's soul and the mother's soul are one when the baby's in the mother's body. The independent soul that the baby gets is only after it leaves, but in the, and then that affects the baby's body. It's simple, it's elementary, right? It's pretty simple. So people are pretty complicated also. People are complicated too. But as complicated as people are, you know, we can learn different Torah about the soul of a person, and we could learn in the Torah things about the soul and understand more. But that's just people. Hashem is like beyond.
Why do we say for 12 months?
So that's what I'm answering. That the same way that there's, I'm glad you reminded me, the same way that there's a connection between the soul of a person and his body, even though there are two totally different wavelengths, and the same way that there's a connection between the eagle that was seen in the prophetic vision of Yechezkel and Yeshaya and an eagle, even though the eagle that was seen in the vision of Yeshaya is not a bird. No, of course not. It didn't have any physical appearance at all.
You're saying the things that we can't relate to.
It's the essence of an eagle. It's the power of an eagle.
They saw it, they lived in this world, and they saw that.
Prophecy is good. Prophecy is being connected to the world that's not physical.
No, I'm saying they were able to perceive that it was an eagle, even though they weren't like.
Yes, they were definitely able to see the link between the two. They were able to understand why an eagle acts the way it does, because it has this particular life force. As you see an eagle, and you have no concept of why an eagle acts like an eagle or doesn't act like a vulture. I already asked you that. Why does an eagle act like an eagle and it doesn't have the nature of a vulture? And there's nothing about your knowledge of the eagle that can explain to you why it acts a certain way. But if you understand its essence, so they understand exactly why an eagle has to be exactly the way an eagle is. They saw the purpose of an eagle. Oh, is that better? They saw the purpose of the eagle. They saw the goal of an eagle. They saw why God created it and what the eagle is supposed to accomplish. And you can't figure that out by looking at a physical eagle. So the same thing is with time. That's what I'm answering you.
We can relate to right to say that 12 months down here resemble
12 states. We don't. The Torah tells us that. We don't have the right to say that.
11 months.
12 months. So the Torah is saying that there's a physical 12 months. It's very physical. You could measure it with a sundial. So it's physical. Time is physical. You can't touch it, but you can measure it. So anything that can be measured is physical. And that's, you know, we can relate to it, and we can mark it, and we can live through it. We age through it. We age because there's time. That's a physical happening. And then there's stages, which is all wisdom. It's not passage of time. It's not physical. It's wisdom. It's the wisdom of God of stages. It's something that has to pass through certain stages. And it's not time. And those stages are linked to this world. And when stages come into this world, it gets a body. And that body is time. Just like the body is the body for the soul. So 12 months is the body for the 12 stages of Gehenna.
It comes down, it's stages.
Yes.
Time and then goes back up, comes
that's
stages.
Right.
All right.
Now.
So in heaven world, there's only stages.
Right. Because time means that something can disappear. And in heaven world, something can't disappear.
Flow, like there is a movement, right?
No. No, it just is.
Can have two stages going on at the same time?
Yes, it just is, right?
I have a question.
It doesn't take time because there is no time.
I'm not talking about time. It's a stage that.
There's different things. There's things that have to happen. There's things that have to happen. There's 12 things that have to happen for this person to get fixed up
if it's possible for someone to get fixed up and then move forward to Gan Eden, in the sense that the stage is moving.
Yeah, but so it's moving, but it's moving without an end.
If there's no time, then...
Yeah, there is progression. There is progression in eternity.
What has to happen to them in those 12 months can't happen to us in a split second.
Well, there's no split seconds. It just happens. Without time. See, when there's eternity, there's no way, there is no time. Because how could you have time when there's eternity?
But there could be progression.
There is progression. There is progression. There is progression. I mean, that's, you know, that Mara says that. And,
before you do that, I have a question, sort of.
Yes, my dear.
When they're waiting for a Mashiach light to come in, like in the heavens, like how long are they waiting for?
They're waiting for time to pass down here.
But there is no time. But there's no time up there, so it's kind of long, yes.
Right. They're waiting for time to pass down here.
They're in eternity, no?
But there's no time.
It's eternity.
There was a true enjoyment is when this world makes it.
Yeah, right. Fine.
There is an enjoyment in Shemayim, but until this world makes it, the enjoyment is not complete. Because there's an important guest that's missing from the meal.
Does that mean until... That means right now, up in Gan Eden, it's eternity until Mashiach comes and the eternity ends.
No, and then we start Olam Haba eternity.
Right, then that's a true eternity.
That's like really.
So that means that eternity has an end, though.
So that eternity does have an end.
The eternity that's going
on
right
now.
That's
not eternity. So that's not even eternity.
So it's not really eternity.
There's just no time, but it will end.
People have passed away. They see things in the past and the future. Exactly, dancing in heaven over that. You all think people are gone? We can argue
about that. Yeah, the Gemara in Brachos talks about some reflections in the Gemara where the people that pass away know what's going on in this world.
What do you mean?
And there's no conclusion to that Gemara.
How can you argue about it?
There's a long argument about whether they know, because there have been proofs from Mishnayos and from incidents.
Oh, yeah. I remember learning that. Yeah. It's good stuff.
The Gemara in the Kedushin, if you've made a Siyam in Kedushin, or if you've ever been at a Siyam in Kedushin, you've heard this Gemara, because it's the last Gemara in Kedushin. Tanya is a brayser. Neroy Emer. Neroy says, "Maniach ani kolim mishabayim." He cast away every job, every type of livelihood. Reb Naharoy. Naharoy was another name for Reb Meir. Reb Meir had two names: Reb Meir and Reb Naharoy. They both mean light. Yeah, Meir is light in Hebrew, and Naharoy is light in Aramaic. So he tossed away all light. Any malamed of the old Torah. I'm not going to teach my son anything but Torah. Yes. The mayor had a son. He's only going to teach him Torah. He's not going to teach him a trade. He's not going to teach him how to be a cobbler. He's not going to teach him how to be a tanner. Yes. The mayor himself. Well, the Mishnah says... When I want it to end?
5:30. Maybe.
Right.
The Mishnah Kedusha says, "Kam Rishayna Malamed is Bala Yumnus, Kila Malamde Listius." Anyone who doesn't teach his child a trade is if he teaches him how to steal.
Makes sense.
We just learned. We just had Parsha Kiseite. Parsha Kiseite talks about a Ben Sarah Meir.
That was Reb Meir, a prominent enough person that when he died, his son would be able to take his place.
I should hope so. But Reb Meir himself said
that is a trade.
Reb Meir, not in those days. They didn't take salaries for them in those days.
The community didn't help them out if they needed it.
You had to have something on the side. It wasn't like nowadays you got a salary. It wasn't like nowadays
didn't
you got
have
a salary. No kailos, no. Reb Yochanan. A sandler. He was a sandal maker. Reb Meir himself said to you, Chaim, you have to teach your son a trade. And then he says, I cast away all trades, and I'm only going to teach my son Torah. So obviously the way to reconcile the difference between these two statements is what he's talking about in general. In general, that if someone doesn't earn a trade, he's going to turn out to be a ganav. But his own son, he knew that he wasn't going to be a guy if he was going to teach him.
That's what we were talking about before. You're
not allowed to be involved in a livelihood, but we don't paschal like him. Halach is not like him. So machlok is between the Shimba Yechai and the Shemal. He lived in the cave for 13 years.
They came out, he freaking burnt someone.
Yeah, but the halacha is not like him. The halacha is that you're allowed to learn a trade. But now we're not talking about whether you're allowed to learn a trade, it's whether you should learn a trade. Why? Why is he only going to teach his son Torah? Shekalom neshabayim and endless like baby elabim may yaldusai. When you're young, and you're strong, and you can smash that hammer down on the anvil and get earn a living, so it's great, you'll eat. I'll be amazing news. What happens when you get too weak to pick up that hammer? What happens if your eyesight, you can't see the stitching, you can't... What happens then? No one's going to come to bring your shoes, and there's no pension plans. No IRA, no IRS, no IRA account.
At that point, you live with your kids.
How do you want to be? You're hungry. You're hungry, you can only work as long as you have strength, physical strength. Old people don't have physical strength. You're hungry, move in, yeah. I will tell you, ain't a cane. Tell you it's not like that. The rest of the MA shall do so. It sticks with you when you're young. When they said it's like Akhus and Tikva, BH the Knuse, it sticks with you when you're old. Never leaves you. My man, this is the point, the climax, the culmination of our remarks. The Kayv Hashem, Yachlifu Kayach, the people that they seek God out. So then God will renew their kayach. They don't have kayach, God will give them new kayach. Yalla even can show him. And they're going to lift up their wings like eagles. And God's going to give them new kayach. So people that they work for a living, so then they have a certain amount of energy in them, a certain amount of strength, and when they get older, it fades. And at some point, they're not going to be able to continue doing the undergoing the physical strains. Yeah, and everyone does that. But people that they go towards spirituality, so even if they don't have the kayak, they don't have the strength, God will give them strength. So the Mashal said, where's the strength going to come from? It says in the Torah, Yachlifu kayak. God is going to exchange it. You know, now they're trying to introduce electric cars into I think they're going to try and start with European countries, Israel, it hasn't spread to America yet, and they're all facing the same challenge. There's no infrastructure. There's no power grid. You can't have a car that can go for 100 miles and then can't count it. There's no gas station within 100 miles of everyone's house. No one thought of this.
That's what they make hybrids.
Yeah, but they want to get past that, because hybrids are still dependent on petroleum. And they can't go past it. So they have all kinds of solutions. So hybrids is one solution, solar panels is one solution. And somebody has a really long extension cord.
Everything's limited.
No, but there's no power stations.
They have a backup battery.
So they're making them really small, so they can go longer. Backup battery. It's just there's no... So that's why they want to start with Israel. There's a rich guy from New Jersey. He is going to invest in power stations. First you gotta build the power stations, then build the car.
No, how long does it take to charge?
That's, yeah.
Whatever.
This is also part of it. If it takes overnight, then you're in trouble.
It's a long time.
You can't drive all day?
Well, they have all kinds of things. It's the friction of the motor recharges it. All kinds of solutions. So he wants to introduce power grids into Israel, then manufacture the car, because Israel is a small country. On the one end, it's a country. It's a small country. There's a lot of car buyers, and it's possible to put power stations, you know, close to each other.
You realize you have to make these cars very cheap.
Very cheap. Very small. Very light.
What's the point again?
Well,
what's
we'll the
like go-karts.
So it says you have a guy that he runs out of power, he's old, he runs out of strength, he can't get up in the morning, he can't think, he can't learn, and the Torah says, don't worry, God's going to give him new power. Where's this new power from? The Mashal says the power comes from Gan Eden. Comes from Adam
Haba. Why is that a question? Why is that a question? Rebbe, Hashem can do whatever he wants.
Well, no, but Hashem has certain rules that he sets for himself.
Why does he set for himself rules?
It's not an open day. This is Derech HaTeva. It's somebody that looks towards spiritual reality, somebody that looks away from this world, so then he can get recharged from his own Adam Haba. Because the Mashal says, what's Adam Haba about? That we're constantly flying. Adam Haba is that we're constantly flying. And we're constantly progressing. And we're constantly going forward. And we're constantly advancing. But in this world, when we do that, we tire. In this world, you tire. And then you have to eat and sleep and rest up. And in this world, you tire. But in Adam Haba, it's like a constant workout. It's a constant workout. And you never get tired. So that's the definition of eternity. Eternity means limitless energy. And when Tam is a Tam of Chacham in this world, and physically he loses his kaikas, so Hashem hooks him up to the next world, where you're constantly advancing, constantly steiging, and you never tire. So the difference between Adam Haba and Adam Haza, in this world we move, we go forward. But we have limits, and we get exhausted, and we have to rejuvenate. And Adam Haba is constant rejuvenation.
But there's no moving forward.
It is moving forward, constantly.
But Adam Haba is all based on what you're...
That's the starting point. Would you agree?
But you would never...
Your starting point...
Get greater
you constantly get greater.
Person, but
can't catch up to anybody.
Somebody, you can't catch up.
That's right. But you're constantly growing, and you're constantly experiencing new things, and it's not boring. And you're constantly, you know... You're constantly, and there's never a moment you're ever the same. It's like new experiences. And you never re-experiencing old things. And you're constantly moving forward. You're constantly recreated. And you never get tired of it. But you start from your starting point based on what you did in this world. And your fellow man, that he accomplished more in this world, so he starts ahead of you. So that burns you.
It's not a race.
Yeah, but if you see him, it's jealousy. It hurts. It hurts when you see that guy who is sitting next to you in the same place, you're born in the same town, same school, he started ahead of you, and you can't catch up. So what's today? Sunday. So tomorrow, you should just know that I don't get it till like 4 o'clock. So if you look around and you see me that I'm not here. So don't think that I'm not going to be here. I come at 4 o'clock. I'll be here for, you know, every Monday is like that. Okay? So I'll be here.
Today's only Sunday.
Okay, we'll continue.